Yo, what it do, everybody? It's your man Dre, aka Dre on Wheels. Welcome everyone to a live episode of the 1130 Podcast. Talk Pro Wrestling. What's goody? How everybody doing out there? Appreciate everyone tuning in here on Facebook and also on the 1130 Podcast YouTube channel. Before we dive in, if you're new to the show, if you haven't done so already, definitely hit the like button on the 1130 Podcast Facebook page. And also, if you haven't done so as well, definitely hit that subscribe button down below here on YouTube. Like it, leave a comment, share it, and don't forget to follow the 1130 Podcast on all social media platforms. Now that's out the way, it's Wrestle Day, man. We got WWE Fastlane coming up tonight, and here on Talk Pro Wrestling this week, man, we live. We'll be chatting about some Fastlane, doing some review and predictions, a little bit other topics here and there. But other than that, man, we're gonna have some fun. Everyone in the chat, appreciate everyone tuning in. I'm not alone, you guys. I'm joined with an awesome guest. Yes, awesome guest that's standing by, my guy Joe, man. Joe, what's going on with you, my friend?
Hey, what's going on? Thank you for having me.
Hey, no problem. How's everything?
Doing good, man. Doing good. Just, you know, doing the podcasting thing, and just got done doing an episode of PUWF Wrestling Talk on Thursday with my co-host D-Walk and the Invisible Man Alex Coquito and Kane the Destroyer.
Thank you. Okay. Hey, that's what's up, man. I appreciate that, man. And also appreciate you being in the chat too last week when we was chatting, me and Alex, going back and forth on Wrestle Dream and NXT. But this is your first time here on Talk Pro Wrestling. Tell everyone about your YouTube channel and a little bit what you do before we dive into some of the predictions and review.
I do a couple things. One of them is I do wrestling talk on Thursdays. We talk wrestling. We talk about the week of wrestling, predictions that are going to happen, and rumors that are going around. And I also do a talk show that is kind of on hiatus for a minute, but it's called The Smoke Lounge, where we have guests on from all different walks of life. We talk to the guests, we turn up the heat a little bit, get the questions a little more spicy. And I also do TikTok. I've been doing drink reviews for a while now on TikTok.
Okay. Hey, man, Look at it. That sounds awesome, man. Sound fun. We got my guy Alex in the chat. Hey, Alex, what's going on, man? Appreciate you in the building, though. But hey, man, all of that is all well and great. And appreciate you once again, Joe, man. But this is your first time, like I said, here on the podcast, man. You're a big wrestling fan. How long you been, you know, being a wrestling fan, or is this something, you know, you
just sort of my whole life into?
Whole life, man. what was the moment that got you, though? I gotta ask you, though.
My dad had me watching wrestling from the time before I was able to walk, and I've been watching it since then. So we used to order every wrestling pay-per-view for every company every month, watch every show that was on TV. We used to go to shows at like high schools and stuff. And I remember when I was five, I went to a high school wrestling show, and Andre the Giant was wrestling. He wrestled eight guys. And at the end of the show, when the show was over, he had picked me up and put me on his shoulders. And I got my picture in the newspaper on Andre's shoulders.
Oh, wow, man. I know that was a big moment for you. Being in the newspaper, picked up by Andre the Giant. I didn't meet Andre the Giant. I met the Big Show, though. So, I mean, like, that's sort of today. Well, at that point, you know, it was Andre the Giant, as you could say. But I know that had been a cool moment. Did you go to school the next day and just bragging about how you was in the newspaper?
Oh yeah.
Hey, man,
5 years old in kindergarten, man.
Hey, man, come on, man. You can't beat that. You definitely can't beat that. I came in a little bit about the Attitude Era, so about late 90s and stuff like this. So The Rock was my guy. You smell. So when he came back a couple of weeks ago, me just saying The Rock was my guy, you already can know that I was going insane, though. But hey, man, that's what's up, man. Big wrestling fans. Okay, we're going to get into some wrestling predictions, man, and reviews that we got going on tonight for WWE Fastlane. Are you excited for the show, or just, you know, mid to you?
I mean, I'm excited for the show. Because I feel like we're going to have something, we're going to have a really good world title match. I do want to see what the world title match holds, because I really feel like Shinsuke Nakamura is past his time to win that championship.
Okay. While you at it, and you just mentioned Shinsuke Nakamura and the world heavyweight, championship, Seth freaking Rollins. And you also just mentioned how, you know, you growing up and your dad took you to wrestling events, and you've been watching it since you can remember. And I got my little man right now. He's one. And his sort of favorite superstar right now is Seth Rollins. So whenever time Seth Rollins' Burn It Down theme song comes on, he definitely lights up, though. But I just had to say that because the graphic was up there. But Seth Rollins and Shinsuke Nakamura for the World Heavyweight Championship Last Man Standing match. Who you definitely got on this one? Do you think it's time sort of for a new World Heavyweight Champion, but it just probably won't be Shinsuke right now?
I feel like it's time for a new champion, but I only feel that way. Part of the reason why I feel this way is because Seth Rollins doesn't need the title. He's relevant without the championship. We want to get the championship on someone who we want to become relevant. Shinsuke Nakamura is a great, great heel, and I'm glad that they're capitalizing on his heel turn, and I'm glad that they're capitalizing on what he can actually do. And the vignettes and stuff have been fantastic. Let's give Shinsuke Nakamura the title and give him a chance to shine as a heel. Let's see what he's got.
Okay. I definitely agree with you. I mean, on certain parts, probably for Shinsuke Nakamura, it's definitely time to give him a chance, though. But do you think he probably need a sort of a mouthpiece to actually make the fit or the switch all the way there for Shinsuke Nakamura? Because obviously he's been having these vignettes, and most of them are backstage on the Titantron, and, you know, not too many people of American fans can understand his English, though. But I think since Seth Rollins won it, you know, he only had one main event with him being in one main event with him defending the title since winning it. I think it could do with a new champion, but I don't know if it's Shinsuke just yet, though. But everything that has been building up to make you think that it's a possibility that it could be.
I just feel like it's time. And I'm not saying that Seth Rollins is not a good champion. I'm not saying he's not a good wrestler. I just feel like he does not need that title to be where he's at. He's the main event talent star. With or without a title, he's still a main event star. And when you reach that level and you don't need a championship, you shouldn't have one. Move it to the next person. Let them elevate.
Okay.
Same thing with AJ Styles.
Yeah, you are right. You are right. And I think that the decision also was to put the title onto Seth Rollins, because Roman Reigns was sort of holding the WWE Universal title up for hostage. And it was like, Raw didn't have a title. So we needed to come up with a title. Who else besides Cody Rhodes would have been a good fit for you to be in the World Heavyweight Championship picture or be next in line for the World Heavyweight title?
Finn Balor would have been a perfect choice. They missed the boat on that one. They could have had Balor win the championship, and it could have caused dissension in the Judgment Day, causing a Priest Balor match for the world title. And then you could have had Damian Priest get his time to shine.
Okay. But I think that's still also coming, with Priest getting his time to shine and them defending the titles tonight, which we're going to get into that match. I still just don't think that Priest and Finn Balor, I've been saying it for a while, just because they won the titles now, I think Finn Balor has cooled down because he got some sort of gold. Rhea won the championship at Mania. Dominic been on the road. He won a North American title back. Finn Balor was Money in the Bank, and then he won the tag team title. But he was okay. Finn Balor was the one who was really struggling mentally, and the fact that he could not beat Seth Rollins, in which that was the guy who beat him for the first Universal title several years ago. So I don't know.
That's actually the person he beat for the first Universal title. Finn Balor beat Seth Rollins, but the problem is Seth Rollins injured him and put him on the shelf for a year and had it made him relinquish it.
Yes.
So we never really had a chance to see what he could have done as champion.
You're right. You are definitely right about that, man. Definitely right about that. So, okay, you said Seth Rollins is definitely time for a new champion. You definitely agree on that. Who do you feel basically will walk out tonight? Do you feel like it's going to be a cash-in, or Seth Rollins is going to escape by the skin of his teeth?
Ooh, man, I'm gonna go with Nakamura.
Nakamura. Okay, that's interesting. I'm interested to see how Nakamura will pull that out. Also, it is a last man standing match. And also, he doesn't have to pin Seth Rollins' shoulders to the mat, so that could probably help him. So,
the Judgment Day can interfere and beat the crap out of Seth Rollins where he can't get up.
Okay, yeah, that is definitely right. That is definitely right. I can see that, but I think I said that also to Alex, and I think I said that on Commission Talk this past week with Finn Balor, and I was just mentioning how Finn Balor having this, you know, back and forth. He haven't necessarily showed it recently since, you know, he got his championship gold. But I don't think he probably going to want anyone in the Judgment Day becoming champion before him. Now, if they do help out Priest and, help out Priest and Priest wins and cash in, then I think for some reason they may do a evolution on Damian Priest, the fact that they have JD McDonagh. But that's just my thought.
It could be how they screw him out of the briefcase too, because what he could do is they could help Nakamura win the belt, and they can go after Nakamura after that. And then when Priest goes to cash in the Money in the Bank, he cashes it in, and Nakamura surprises him with a Kinshasa and gets the pin really quick. Or there could be dissension because Finn slides the briefcase into to Priest, misses, it goes to Nakamura, and Nakamura uses it and retains the title.
Okay. Hey, that's a great idea. Some would say, though, I personally think the men's Money in the Bank, I mean, the women's Money in the Bank just came out, some years ago. It's been around for some time, 100% cash-in rate. And over the last couple of years, we've been seeing the guys who cash in on United States champions and cash in on, cash in, period, and don't be successful. And I think with them pushing Damian Priest in the direction they have been pushing him, he had the big matchup at Backlash with Bad Bunny and he won Money in the Bank. I don't know. I don't see him, you know, possibly losing it. But, hey, anything is definitely possible. Definitely possible. Okay.
Do you see Priest as a world champion?
I do. I do see him as a world champion. I want to say before this whole Judgment Day thing, I didn't. But I think when he joined Judgment Day and he been for real, if you look at a lot of the matches with Judgment Day, Priest was the one who was getting, if not Finn Balor, Priest was the one who was hitting his finisher, getting the 1-2-3, you know, picking up the victory for the Judgment Day. So he was kind of like that big factor. Even when Edge started, you know, when he was the, you know, creator with the whole Judgment Day, I think he was the first guy who was in. So, I mean, you knew Priest was going to be something. I just didn't, you know, see him or what he was going to be, you know. But this is doing them pretty, pretty well, though. But let's see. I want to see what goes.
I agree. I, before Judgment Day, I didn't see him being a world champion. I felt like he was a flash in the pan. After Judgment Day, I feel a little different. But I don't think he would be a long champion. Mm-hmm. Transitional champion, more or less.
Yeah, that was my next question. Definitely my next question. And I can see him also being the transitional champion because of the feud with the Judgment Day and also Finn Balor. Now, hopefully, you know, see how it goes. He'll most likely probably win it back again, but we just got to see how it goes. Definitely see how it goes. Puerto Rico is in here and well. Hey, I dig it. I dig it. Appreciate everyone in the comments, man. Thank everyone for tuning in. Also, going down tonight at Fastlane, six-man tag team matchup. We got the LWO, Rey Mysterio and Santos Escobar, and the mystery tag team partner taking on the Street Profits and Bobby Lashley. What do you think about the new Street Profits with Bobby Lashley and who you feel you got on this one, and also the third partner?
Okay, so let's start with the Street Profits. I like the angle that they're going with the Street Profits, making them heel. They need to change their music, and they need to be more bloodthirsty. They're heels. They need to stop trying to get over with the crowd and just start being heels. Bobby Lashley knows very well how to do that. As far as the mystery partner goes, I have it from a source that the mystery partner is going to be Carlito.
Oh, wow. Carlito. Caribbean cool, man. We haven't seen him since, what, Backlash.
And then, he's been under contract this whole time.
Yeah, what was going on with Carlito? I heard about him returning for a while, and then he just sort of disappeared.
They've been waiting on the right moment to put him in, the right time.
Okay.
Now's the time.
With all the budget cuts and everything, I thought he was one of the guys who got released as well. So, you know, I'm not quite sure. But, hey, that's what's up, man. Hopefully, you know, that would be a great surprise, though. I agree with you on the whole Street Profits having a new theme song. I don't even really like them being called the Street Profits. Like, if they're going to go this whole new gimmick with Bobby, like, do they have a tag team name, a faction name as a unit or anything like that? And just
Hurt Business 2.0.
Hurt Business 2.0. Yeah. That's exactly what everybody is saying. You know, Bobby Lashley, you got the Street Profits and so, and definitely have been some women out there that's been floating around that would love to, that everyone would love to see to be in the group.
Jade.
Definitely Jade. I think that would be a really huge impact for her being in the Hurt Business 2.0. So, hey, who knows, though? Who knows? What you got to say?
There's another name that's been floating around, but as Alex said, when she is heel, she's very ratchet and doesn't belong with the group, and that was Bianca Belair.
Okay. See, I thought that was coming. After SummerSlam, she didn't get her title back. She was mad that Charlotte came in and was like, yo, move to the side. I'm Charlotte. I'm 15-time women's champion. I can get a title shot anytime I want to. And you saw it sort of never happened. And I think because of WWE had plans for her, for, I guess, the book or the children's book, whatever thing she was doing, it just never came to fruition. But you sort of seen it was coming, that she was going to be a heel. But I think, man, for the right time, the right moment, I think that'll be amazing, though. Definitely be amazing. And I think that'll be a great way to really make fans wait for the Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill one-on-one match, because everyone wants to see that. And for some reason or not, you know, they want to see that match. So if you put them as both heels, I guess they don't have, you know, a reason to touch, you know, for a while. So, hey, that's just a theory out there, but
Jade better get better.
And then I think there's also a reason why they rolled the red carpet out for her. Like, that's another reason why I was telling Alex too. That's another reason why they rolled the red carpet out for her at the Performance Center and showed all these pictures of her working out, training and stuff, because everyone had this perception of her. They're like, oh, man, she's green. Oh, man, she's trash. Oh, man, she's not good. You know, X, Y, Z. So, and I think WWE took a heave of that and was like, okay, we're going to sign you anyway based on the potential that we see in you, but you also need to get better as well. So, as you know, as well. So I think that's why they definitely had her out on Instagram and, you know, social media and stuff. You know,
rumor. Rumor has it that she's making her debut tonight. Oh, and wow. She's going to be confronting Rhea Ripley.
I think that would be awesome. I think it definitely would be awesome. You know, it's like 5 matches on a card. I think because I said to myself, I feel like they're going to have a filler match in or maybe like a surprise, though. But to have
one singles match, on the entire card.
Yeah, for the women. So
for the men.
For the men?
Yeah, there's no singles match for women. There's no singles match at all. Seth and Nakamura is the only singles match there is.
Yeah. You got that right. Yeah, you definitely got that right. Yeah, so I feel like they're definitely going to have like one filler match in or so. But, you know, I can definitely probably see that. I don't see, because that was my question I had for a little while. What are they going to do with Jay? Will Jay go to NXT or will she go to the main roster? And I was thinking maybe she would go to NXT because just off how they introduced her, she was, you know, walking up to sort of the performance center, you know, and it was Tuesday. Shucks, is she going to be on NXT? But, you know, not. So I think, you know, the main roster is the best fit. I think she's definitely going to be working out in between, you know. So I don't know if we're going to see her first matchup just yet. I think she's just going to be on television a whole lot, and you know everyone gets to see her, because a lot of people, you know, predictions that her debut was probably going to be what, the Rumble, maybe.
Yeah, but did you hear Bobby Lashley was talking on I forgot the name of the podcast he was on. He was on a podcast talking, and he said, they asked him about Jade, and he said, oh yeah, he's like, I saw them, they signed her, and he's like, she would be a perfect fit for our group. He's like, so if you want to come over to a winning team, he's like, why don't you come over to us?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Kind of putting it out there.
Yeah, I think that'd be a great fit. Great fit of her coming to WWE. We're going to get right back to the predictions. And speaking of coming to WWE and people going, though, first, I got to ask your opinion how you feel about the rumors of CM Punk possibly returning to WWE at Survivor Series.
It's not possible. It's guaranteed. It's money.
It's guaranteed.
It's money. That's money. Listen, this is the metaphor I tell everybody. I'm like, this is the opportunity you have. It's like walking on the street and seeing a bag of money and keep going. Mm-hmm. You gonna keep going on a bag of money? No, you're gonna stop and pick it up.
Yeah, I'm gonna stop and pick it up though, and I definitely get what you're saying though, and that's how I felt. I felt a certain way, sort of, you know, similar to what you, how you feel about CM Punk coming back to WWE. And I was thinking, you know, why wouldn't he, before all the drama and stuff happened at AEW, and a lot of people were saying, nah, man, he's gone for good. And I was like, oh, like I would really kind of like capitalize on that with him coming back to AEW, but the situation with him coming back to WWE, man, oh man, like I think it's a full circle, you know, moment when he left and how bad he didn't want to go. And I'm just thinking it's just a decision because of, well, you know, AEW fired me, so now I gotta go back to WWE.
So in September, he was on this UFC style promotion. It was a cage fighting promotion as a commentator, and they were poking fun at AEW. And he said, so what are you doing? You know, what are you doing with yourself? You know, and he's like, I'm free for the next 2 months. CM Punk's words, I am free for the next 2 months. And 2 months from that time is Survivor Series in Chicago.
Yeah.
Which is where I believe he will make his return.
I mean, I don't know, but, man. Go ahead.
Here's the problem. AEW, he has that AEW championship, the real world championship. Why not have him come in with a bag with the belt in it and have him cut a pipe bomb in Chicago on a pay-per-view where there's no scripting, have him cut a promo and have him take the title out and they blur the belt. Like they did with Ric Flair back in the early 90s when he brought the WCW title over to WWE, WWF. and have him when he's cutting the promo, he can have that belt out so people can see it.
Yeah.
Okay. Cut a huge pipe bomb.
I can dig with that. I think, you know, with social media now, but today, I think it's definitely going to get around with the picture of Ben out there. You know, he got the belt. But I think that would be an awesome idea. I just couldn't see. For a long time, I couldn't see CM Punk coming back to WWE. You know, when he went to AEW, I was like, okay, cool. Maybe he found, you know, wrestling again. And he'd done that for a while. I felt like CM Punk had a, you know, his name. He had this brand going with himself. And I just feel like he didn't need to wrestle a whole lot. And I'm not a – I haven't been backstage. I don't know what's the issue that everyone have with CM Punk or if he's a cancer to the business or whatnot, though. I just feel like he will be great in the wrestling business. I don't know if he's, you know, a once-in-a-lifetime generation, but he is CM Punk, though. So I think definitely with him coming back to WWE in Survivor Series is in Chicago. I mean, like, that's a great fit. They always say never say never in WWE, and that would be one of the never say nevers. Like, since I've watched wrestling, he has been one of the guys who've been very vocal of not returning to WWE. So I think that would be really, really massive. That's why I can't fathom it right now. So it's kind of, you know.
Think of the pop. Think of the pop that we would hear.
Yeah.
CM Punk's music hits in Chicago, beginning of the broadcast. They start the broadcast off, and they're like, welcome to 2023 Survivor Series, and all of a sudden, the announcers get cut off by CM Punk's music.
Yeah, yeah. And to new to me, they've been hitting, you know, CM Punk over the last couple of weeks. I think on SmackDown, Corey Graves hinted some phrase that CM Punk said in Ring of Honor. And, you know, I didn't catch that. I just heard about that, you know.
It was Michael Cole during a Seth Rollins interview. Was it this past Monday or last Monday?
Boo.
I think it was this Monday. They cut, Michael Cole was interviewing Seth Rollins, and he said, architect, manipulator, you know, blah, blah, blah. He was like giving him all these coin phrases, like, I've made all these names for you. Michael Cole's like, I coined all these phrases for you. He's like, but you're also a puppeteer. But he's like, but now you seem more like the puppet.
Yeah.
And that went back to and then they flashed back to the ROH segment with CM Punk saying how he's a puppeteer controlling the puppet. Amen. So I was like, they're hinting at little tidbits of things.
Hey, that'll be awesome. Here and then, you know, a couple of matches that, you know, he would have that I would like to see with a bunch of people. So, hey, it's interesting. It's definitely interesting. Okay, one more thing before we get back into the predictions. This past Sunday, last weekend, we seen Edge also, well, Adam Copeland, known as Edge in WWE, made his AEW debut. And in AEW at Wrestle Dream this past Sunday. And boy, oh boy, man, I didn't see this one coming. And I think probably 24 hours to 48 hours, people was discussing that Edge contract is up and is expiring 24 hours or so before Wrestle Dream. He made his debut. What was your thoughts on all of this?
I said it. I told y'all. I told y'all he was coming. Everybody's like, oh, it's not going to happen. It's never going to happen. I was like, it's going to happen. I was like, he's unhappy with WWE with the way that they're using him right now, and there's nothing for him to do. And he's done everything. What else is there for him to do? It's time for him to move on. And his exact words were, they had nothing for me to do. They didn't know what to do with me. And they only wanted me to wrestle a couple times a year. I'm a full-time guy. I want to wrestle all the time. He's like, I didn't get healthy just to be sitting on the sidelines. Mm-hmm. He's like, I want to wrestle. And he's like, and they didn't know what to do with me. And he's like, I needed something fresh and new. And he's like, he talked to his daughters, and his daughters said, go be with Uncle Jay and go have fun.
Mm-hmm.
And that made his decision for him because his daughters told him to go have fun.
Yeah, you're right. You're definitely right about that, man. I thought personally it was just sort of, you know, a thing WWE was trying to be precautionary about. Like, if he was a legend, he came back with a, you know, broken neck or whatever. You know, just he wrestled a couple of times a year. You're a big attraction. You don't need to wrestle. You know, one thing. That's sort of what I was saying about CM Punk and AEW, and that's where I think the injuries were getting to him. I think with the knee, the elbow, whatever it was. I just saw CM Punk a whole too much than I wanted to. But I was like, yo, man, CM Punk, you're the man. Edge, yeah, he's the man. I just don't think, you know, it'd be great to have him out there every week. But I think it was more so a precaution thing. And, of course, how WWE has a whole lot of writers and, you know, you don't get so much freedom within the business. And, of course, you know, AEW, you get much more freedom. And I just didn't see it. I just didn't see it because he was a guy who sort of grew up in WWE. His favorite, you know, his whole story about being in WWE and how he went to WrestleMania and they pointed him out and circled him out and being there and all just a bunch of stuff. I just didn't see him going over to AEW. But hey, he wanted to work with some new talent and help a place grow and, you know, have that love for professional wrestling. So I think that's amazing, though. Anybody that you have in mind that you would like to see Israel one-on-one with?
Oh, lots of people. Luchasaurus is one of them, and he's wrestling him on Tuesday.
Yeah.
I'd love to see him and MJF, him and Darby, him and Sting. I think of all the dream matches we're going to get to see. When did you ever think you'd ever be able to see Edge and Sting in the same ring together?
Hey, you're right about that. I never thought that would happen.
Now it's happening.
Yeah, now it is. Now it is, man. Yo, appreciate everyone tuning in, man. Definitely hit the like button down below. Smash the like button. Leave a comment. We laugh. Tell me, everyone. What you into, man, for tonight, or who you have for tonight, what favorite matchup that you're looking forward to, or any type of surprises. And speaking of tonight, we're going to get back into some of the predictions. Triple threat matchup for the women's championship, Asuka, Charlotte Flair, who got to stick her nose in every women's championship matchup, Charlotte Flair and the women's champion Io Sky. Me personally, I just think that this whole Asuka and Io thing happened too soon for me. You know, I think that I don't want to say chemistry, but I think the anticipation for these women to possibly meet and go one-on-one in the ring. We have seen them wrestle on SmackDown, I think 2 weeks ago, which wasn't that much of a great match. And we've seen them, I think, a couple of weeks prior, though. But I think it was somewhat rushed, though. But, hey, that's out of my hands, though. And Charlotte Flair is, you know, sticking her nose in the championship business. I'm going to have to go with Io Sky on this. And hopefully Charlotte. Well, if it does, though, kudos to Charlotte tying her father record of being a 16-time women's champion, 16-time champion at that, though. But, yeah, who you have in this one and how you feel about this triple threat match?
I would like Io Sky to retain the title to build her to solidify herself as a legitimate champion. I do agree with you on the Asuka EO match at SmackDown. I feel like it was rushed. I feel like they should have saved that for a bigger pay-per-view so they could have had more time and more planning. As Charlotte, I feel like they're going to try to give her some quick world title wins so she can pass her father's record at WrestleMania, which this would be a good opportunity to do that. You can have Charlotte beat Asuka, so Io's not involved in the pinfall, and then have Io challenge out Sir Charlotte one-on-one, have Io beat Charlotte, take the belt back. And that way it's like, hey, I beat Charlotte Flair one-on-one, I'm the best.
That's not bad. That's not totally bad, though, but I'm a little against Charlotte Flair beating up Asuka again. I mean, Charlotte was the one who crushed Asuka's undefeated streak when you thought that at WrestleMania 34 in New Orleans that Asuka was going to be the one who won the match, but no, it was Charlotte. And I remember, I think the year after that or so, I remember her beating Asuka on a random SmackDown, taking her title. So I think we have enough. I think I have had enough of the Asuka and Charlotte thing, unless if Asuka doesn't come out on top, you know. But I'm gonna go with Io just to play it safe. But I wouldn't be surprised if Charlotte Flair walks out with the women's championship and becoming a 16-time.
15 or six. I think it might be 15.
Okay, 15. Hey, whatever. Hey, look at it. She's a dominant world champion, women's world champion at that. So I think that's cool, man. So yeah, I got EO. So who you say you got? You said Charlotte?
EO. I got EO.
Okay. Cool. EO for the win, man. Who you guys got, man? Let me know in the comments who you guys got for the matches. All right, next one. We have a tag team titles. Judgment Day, Finn Balor and Priest taking on Jey Uso and Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes, man. I'm going to let you go first, man. I just don't see Cody Rhodes, nor do I see Jey Uso being in a tag team or winning the tag team titles. But, How you feel, Joe?
Balor and Priest are going to retain. I feel like this match shouldn't have even been made. I feel like we're just slapping tag teams together now to make tag team opponents for the tag champions. Where are the real tag teams?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Cody Rhodes needs to be doing world title main event stuff. And Jey Uso needs to be doing the same.
Yeah.
You just got out of a tag team to be in another one, but it's no damn sense.
It really don't. It don't make no sense, though. Jey Uso, like you just said, came out of the bloodline, coming over to Monday Night Raw because of Cody. Now, I get this because of a little bit, because Cody Rhodes is responsible for Jey Uso coming over to Monday Night Raw, which I know a lot of people, you know, on Raw is not, you know, forgave Jey Uso just yet. So, other than that, man, I think Jey should just be doing his own thing. He should be in the single match, being dominant, as well as Cody Rhodes. And the last couple of things Cody Rhodes been doing is just, you know, just saving Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn and asking people what they want to talk about. So I see Judgment Day, Finn Balor, and Damian Priest retaining the tag team titles here. And they just, like you just said, throwing tag teams together, though. That seemed like the name of the game in WWE right now. Let's throw some people together and let's see who could face the tag team champions.
I'm waiting for them to bring back the Authors of Pain that are under contract.
Oh, wow. They on the contract?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Paul Ellering and the Authors of Pain are under WWE contract.
Okay. So have they been under contract this entire time, or they just
resigned? They've been under contract for 6 months, I think. 3 to 6 months.
Okay.
Waiting for the proper time to bring them back.
The proper time to bring them back. Okay. Hey, I want to know exactly what is the proper time for them to actually return. Would love to see them return, you know, because, man, they were dominant in NXT, Robert, Cody Rhodes, and main event, Jey Uso will win the tag team championships. Okay.
I guess he feels like we're going to have an Edge Hogan moment again.
Okay, you think so? Also, one of those Edge Hogan moments back on SmackDown, and they were just teaming up and stuff. Okay, I personally don't even see that. Something in the story to further push Cody Rhodes, well, actually both of them, though, but definitely Cody Rhodes, which I felt like he just been coming out there. What you want to talk about? You know, Judgment Day come out, Dominic come out there, boo. That's it.
So here's what they could do. Here's what they could do. Since it is a cross-branded pay-per-view, and Jimmy Uso and Solo are going to be there, you can have Jimmy Uso screw Jay out of the tag belts again. Jay and Cody. And that further pushes Cody. Remember, because they haven't moved a person to SmackDown from Raw yet.
Yep.
And Cody can say, I'm going to SmackDown. And I'm going to kick your brother's ass. And then I'm going to kick your cousin's ass. And I'm going to take that title from him and finish the story. Have it as like his last Monday Night Raw promo before he leaves.
Okay. Speaking of finish the story, do you think Cody Rhodes will ever finish this story now that we'll be seeing Dwayne come back a couple of weeks ago? The Rock.
I've seen interesting takes on this. If the Rock wrestles again, which he might, I see them having The Rock versus Roman at WrestleMania on like a night one. Where he loses to Roman. Okay. Roman goes to night two to face Cody, and that's when Cody wins the world championship and defeats Roman for the first time.
Okay. I like it. I personally dig it. I had a theory that maybe Cody Rhodes. Now, obviously, the story needs to be or wants to be finished at WrestleMania. And they got a WrestleMania-like pay-per-view that's going down the month prior, or you know, the last pay-per-view or premium live event before WrestleMania. Elimination Chamber is going to be in Australia, like what 80,000 fans or whatever. It's not WrestleMania though, but you know, it's WrestleMania feel like, and he can win it there. There have been a lot of great stories in WWE where the underdog or so who's been chasing the title won the belt prior to WrestleMania. Eddie Guerrero beat Brock Lesnar at No Way Out.
No Way Out.
Prior to WrestleMania. The Rock beat Kurt Angle, I believe, prior to WrestleMania, what was it, 17, to become the WWF champion. You know, it was like the title did change hands, and that haven't happened frequently as much as it did in the past, though. But I do agree with the whole night one, night two. That's it, Roman Reigns. Hey, going to wrestle both nights, though. But I would kind of like to switch it because I think The Rock versus Roman is a bigger match. And I think the reason why maybe some would say maybe having Cody wrestle Roman night two is because you want to, you know, build towards the future. I mean, Rock is, he's definitely going to be great. That's going to be a great match. People are going to come in and watch it. But I think, you know, the night after WrestleMania, the Raw after WrestleMania, you know, who's that guy to take you on, you know, to take you on that ride from there. And I think it could possibly be Cody Rhodes, though. But, hey, that's a theory. That's not a bad theory, though, to see if Cody Rhodes actually finished the story. So
He will. WWE's not gonna – I don't think they're going to shaft him this time. And if they did, I see him leaving.
Oh, wow. You really see him leaving? I mean, just coming back just to sort of not – I mean – I'm not going to say it's not possible, but yeah, just to come back and not win it and then leave again.
Yeah.
Hey, all right.
Okay. Back to AEW.
Okay, back to AEW, man. Hey, man. Hey, AEW is doing okay, man. It's not bad, but it's doing okay. So
it's growing.
Yes, it is. It's definitely growing. Okay.
Let's see what happens on Tuesday.
Yeah, definitely. Let's see what happened on Tuesday. We're going to chat about that just in a few. We have another matchup, which I believe it would be the main event of Fastlane. We have John Cena and LA Knight teaming up to take on Bloodlines, Jey Uso, and Solo Sikoa. What's your thoughts on this one right here? How you feel about...
Well, I hate John Cena. I don't like John Cena at all. I don't appreciate him. Don't like him. I don't get behind his nothing. Yeah, I just, not a John Cena guy. So anytime I get to see John Cena get his ass beat is always a plus for me. The whole AJ Styles thing beat up John Cena thing was priceless. Loved it. He was getting his ass whooped every week. Beat up John Cena.
Wow.
What I would like to see happen is I would like to see, you know, yeah. I'd like to see LA Knight do a swerve or maybe miss, and it costs them the match, and then they can start a feud between Cena and LA Knight 1-on-1.
I can see that. I can definitely see that with them teaming up. But I gotta ask, man, why you hate John Cena, man? What fuels the fire to hate John Cena? Because
long time ago, okay. We're gonna go back a long time. Okay, OVW is where John Cena got his start. Mm-hmm. Ohio Valley Wrestling is where John Cena got his start as prototype. He got his start in the business there. He was there with Batista as Leviathan, and he was there with Shelton Benjamin and the Brock Lesnars, and he was there in a good group. Randy Orton was there in that group. He is one of those guys that he made a comment one time and said they wanted him to come back to do something in OVW, and he's like, fuck that, fuck them, kind of thing. Like, I don't want to be associated with them. Because he was too high up on the chain. And it really stuck with me. Like, you're going to really shit on your roots like that? Like, where you came from? I was like, I'm not interested anymore. I was like, I lost my complete interest in you just went away.
Oh, wow. Okay. I don't think I, you know, noticed that or whatnot. So, hey, you learn something every day. And I know multiple people got different reasons on why they hate sort of John Cena. Obviously, from, you know, from a fan perspective, watching John Cena, what, almost 20 plus years, seeing his career in the beginning, everybody hated John Cena. It was just, I think it was the moment that really got people, is where he beat Triple H at WrestleMania 22. And it seemed like that was the change that sort of switched everything. It was like, okay, this guy is the guy they really pushing down our throat. And he beat Triple H, then beat Shawn Michaels, DX, back-to-back in WrestleManias. And the people were just like, eh, you know, especially the guys. The kids loved him. You know, certain people, yeah, he was cool with me. I repped John Cena. That was my guy to a certain point. And then you started, you know, seeing what was up. But it just seemed like once he left, everyone, you know, started to love him, though. But go ahead. You got something you want to say?
He's Roman Reigns and him are the same.
Roman and him are the same?
Yeah, they're the same. They're being shoved down your throat. Take it. Eat it. This is what you need to have. This is what you're going to like. And it's like, no, I don't want that. I want to be different. And they're like, no, you're going to take this. You're going to take this. It's like, I don't want this. I want something else.
Okay. You spoke about OVW. Have you seen the Netflix documentary special, the OVW one?
I have.
What's your thoughts on how you like that?
I liked it. I liked it a lot. They actually re-signed it for season 2.
Oh, wow. That is amazing. It's
already been re-signed. Yes.
Yeah, that's awesome. I was talking with the guys this past week about the show that come on Stars and Hills. Just trying to find a new replacement because they had got, you know, canceled for season three. So,
yeah,
definitely got to get a new home on that, man. You know, wrestling is where it's at.
Definitely. Netflix should sign it.
Yeah, Netflix would be really good to sign it, though. You know, I don't think people respect or believe in wrestling and just feel like once the late 90s, late 80s, a wrestling era went away and all the great sort of, you know, went on and all of the sort of secrets of wrestling got out, you know, people kind of like, oh, you know, they don't really want to, you know, give it too much of a shot, especially the mainstream, you know, especially who's the star of the show is a big, it's real important, just to say the least though. But yeah, you guys, man, we got Fastlane coming up tonight here doing some reactions and previews. Got about 5 matches. We just went down the card. And a little bit spoken about AEW a few moments ago. They have a Tuesday night show this week, which is going up against, of course, NXT, who's on Tuesday night. And I was watching NXT. I got back in the house pretty late. And I was watching NXT, excuse me, and I realized, like, hold on, wait a minute, what's going on? What's up with all these real big names on NXT? How you feel about them pulling, WWE pulling out the whole arsenal for AEW having a switcheroo, sort of a switch a day, you know, was sort of out of their control because of the Major League Baseball playoffs, though.
Do you smell it? It smells like desperation. smells like they're like, oh no, they're coming to our day now. That we got off Wednesdays to get away from them because they were kicking our butt. Now we're on Tuesdays. Now they're coming on Tuesday. We got to do something. We got to win. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They were like all hands on deck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, me personally, I mean, hey, business is business, and I understand. Sort of understand what WWE is trying to do. They like, hey, you know, you can come on our day that we had. We're going to go all out. But, you know, just to hear certain people in certain interviews to say, hey, man, AEW is not competition, or guys from AEW to say WWE is not competition. We just want them to win or whatnot. You know, we just want every wrestling company to be successful. You know, and I just feel like, okay, if AEW was going on Tuesdays, and I understand it's not that easy, it's sort of easy to say, but it would have been cool if NXT would have came on Wednesday this week. Just to let AEW just have his own day and just do his own thing. But, you know, man, you're going to pull out The Undertaker, you're bringing out John Cena first time down in NXT. I think that's, man, oh, man. Like, and it's, and to be honest with you, I would feel a little bit some type of way if I was the, you know, the guys and girls there, because you pulling out the whole entire roster for the main event guys to come down here and sort of take a little bit spotlight from the guys and girls who are there every single week, you know, just like trust in them and see if they have the ability to, you know, do it. Obviously, they're not stars just yet, but they sort of stars.
Don't be surprised if Roman Reigns shows up at the end of the show.
Oh, wow. Roman Reigns at the end of the show. And he's coming back, next week, next Friday on SmackDown? Next Friday. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. You got this historic championship reign. How you feel about that? And do you think he's going to lose the title anytime soon or
wrestle? It's trash. Trash, trash, trash. And he needs to lose that damn belt and get the hell off TV quickly.
He ain't been on TV.
That's the point. He made Brock Lesnar look like a full-time guy. As much as he doesn't do anything, he didn't even come on TV. He's just gone. And he was the one that shitted on Brock Lesnar about not being on TV. And now he's worse than Brock.
Yeah. I don't understand that. I never was a fan of the whole, you're a part-timer and, or put the title on the person who's a part-timer or is about to take time off. If Roman was going to take time off, it would have been easy to, you know, switch the belts. Now, I think, this is the reason why they came up with a second title. They knew they wasn't going to have any plans of taking that belt off of Roman Reigns anytime soon. So they said, you know what? Let's create a new title, put it on Raw, let Seth Rollins be the captain of the ship and go around with the flag of the World Heavyweight Championship. And, you know, we'll see what comes out with that, you know. But having Roman Reigns be champion for 3 years, over 1,000-something days, we haven't seen that in a long time. And that, I mean, obviously, you know, love it or hate it, it's money, you know. So whoever he faces and whoever beats him, it got to be huge. It definitely got to be huge. And I don't know. I really don't.
Cody's the only one I see beating him. Like, he's the only guy. I don't see him losing to anybody else. And another thing is, you're right, Seth Rollins does have that championship, but God, what an ugly championship it is. The title is butt ugly.
but ugly.
Look like the hardcore title was super glued back together.
Oh man, dang. It's not that ugly, is it?
It's ugly.
So you feel like they should have just had the original World Heavyweight Championship brought back, or just something new altogether?
They could have went with the Eagle title. They could have went with the big gold belt, like from WC, like for the WCW World Heavyweight title. They could have went with one of those to be more nostalgic. But in retrospect, they took the old world title, the big gold belt, and then cut a hole in the middle and put a big WWE logo in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, why?
And look here, like I said in the beginning, I came up in the Attitude Era, and the Attitude Era, it was the big gold, eagle wing belt and stuff. What's up with that belt? Why that belt stands out? Why you feel like that belt stands out the most than any other belt, or register with fans the most than any other belt, of WWE Championship that they have?
Look at the people that have held it. Hogan, Savage, you got Shawn Michaels, Austin, The Rock. You've got all these people that have held this title, and you took it away and changed it for that title that they came out with next, which was a bigger title. But it's like the Eagle Skull was carried by a lot of people. Bret Hart, Bob Backlund even carried it. Like, you've got all these legends that have carried this title, and I feel like they should bring it back. It was a beautiful title.
Okay. So, the prestige and the presence of the championship really did it for you, more so of the title itself, the way it looked. Well, not necessarily the way it looked, but all these people have held this awesome belt that looks gorgeous. And now that this belt, which is still the WWE Championship, despite WWF or WWE, it no longer looks the same, that it takes away from the value of the belt?
I feel like it feels like it's cheapened. It feels like you just created a championship because you couldn't take a title off of somebody else. Because he unified the titles. So you just created a title out of nowhere to give a title to somebody else and have them defend it on a different brand because you couldn't take the title off somebody else. It feels like it is cheapened. But again, like I said, the Eagle School title, the Eagle Wings, that thing was just a well-presented title, and it has a lot of lineage and a lot of legacy to it. Even the giant gold belt from WCW.
Yeah.
That is another title that holds a lot of lineage and a lot of legacy to it. If you bring one of those back, you're just showing that you're bringing the legacy of this championship back to the main light.
Okay. They sort of did that a little bit with the Intercontinental Championship. How do you feel about that, though? Obviously, they got a new IC Championship with Walt Gunther holding it now, but back when, Cody Rhodes, we were just talking about when he had the whole character, when he had the end of when he had the mask, he had the little face mask, construction face mask on, and then he
dashing Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, and then he pulled out the IC title out of the bag and sort of gave the IC title an uplift, procedure. Was like, hold up, wait a minute. That's the title that, all the greats, held and stuff. So it brought some, eyeballs on Cody Rhodes and the stuff that he was doing. So I think that is one way to get people really invested back. A lot of people were fans of the belts and, stuff like that. So, hey, I do think the WWE is a little lazy on certain things. Like, I'm a big fan of the stages. I think the stages look, they are just simple, from both Raw to SmackDown, the pay-per-views, and, I know it's probably much, cheaper or less difficult with the LED boards than the whole construction and building the stage, but, hey, That's that, man. That's that.
Man, okay. People miss all that stuff, you know, the giant fist on the SmackDown thing, and, you know, having elaborate themes when you're doing these pay-per-views. Like, you need to be more, less CGI and more graphic. I mean, put it out there. Do stages. When they did Royal Rumble back in 2000, it was in New York City. I was there live. They had an actual taxi cab that was sitting above the entranceway, and they had like other like a concrete road that was built. Like, they had all kinds of stuff to build for New York City.
Wow. That was one of my favorite pay-per-views to remember, man, and actually chat with a guy who's there that was actually there. So I know that was awesome. I remember The Rock winning the Royal Rumble that night, and
Triple H. That's who gave me my tickets.
Say it again.
That's who gave me my tickets.
Oh, okay. The Rock?
Yes, sir.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Triple H and Captain Jack in that, it was the last man standing match or whatnot.
It was a Hell in a Cell, I believe. Was the Hell in a Cell?
No, Hell in a Cell was the next month, and where it was.
That's right. That was the last man standing match of a street fight.
Yeah, that was there. Yeah. So I think that was awesome, man.
And TLC with the Hardys, the Dudleys, and Edge and Christian.
Yeah, great time, man. Definitely great times. All right, man. Look at it. This was awesome having you on. Definitely shout out to my guy Alex Coquito, man. But definitely linking us up, man, and definitely it was awesome having you come on here on the 11:30 podcast show. Anything else, man, in wrestling, man, you want to, you know, mention or bring up or anything like that, man? The floor is yours, man, because I always
thank you for having me, first off.
No problem.
I appreciate coming on. I look forward to maybe doing it again in the future, and nothing really, just you know, if you guys want to check us out, Joe BNCO on YouTube. I'm also Joe BNCO of the PWF on Twitter, which is X now, and Joe BNCO on TikTok, and JBianco835 on Twitch. I sometimes do some gaming on Twitch, and sometimes I do some broadcasts on there as well. But yeah, definitely love to do some more. Maybe have you on the show once, maybe if you ever have a Thursday that's free.
Okay, man, we definitely got to link that up, man, and definitely do that. Hey, yo, man, this was definitely dope chatting with you guys. Hey, man, Joe, tell everyone where they can catch you at, man, and also your YouTube channel and podcast.
Joe BNCO of the PUWF on Twitter, and Joe BNCO on YouTube, Joe BNCO on TikTok, and JBianco835 on Twitch. You can catch us on YouTube, Joe BNCO. PUWF Wrestling Talk every Thursday. You could also catch D-Walk with NXT Time on Wednesdays. And you could also catch The Invisible Man with his Rican Reactions and stuff on Rican Reactions.
Hey, that's what's up, man. Definitely what's up. You guys, man, for everyone who's listening right after the live ends, the links will definitely be down below. The audio version will be available. You forgot something?
I forgot something. My tag team partner, one half of the Destroyers of Smoke, Kane, is on hiatus right now, but love you, brother. And he also has a podcast, the Grown Folks Talk and Sip podcast. And so hopefully he'll be back soon with us and we can start tearing things up like we used to.
Hey, that's what's up. That's definitely what's up. Hey, appreciate everyone tuning in, and definitely, Joe, thank you so much for stopping past here on the 11:30 podcast, Talk Pro Wrestling. You guys, man, we're going to take a quick break, you guys, man. I'm going to come back and wrap up the show. Don't move. You're listening. You're watching to the 11:30 podcast. That's
podcasts on Spotify. They are The Moment.
Listen up.
Mm-hmm. Now, y'all, I don't understand why a lot of people aren't, you know, making their podcasts into videos and uploading it through Anchor onto Spotify. Come on.
Yeah, seriously. Like, if we can do it, so can y'all.
Literally, y'all, it's so easy. All I have to do is upload your video through Anchor and bloop, up on Spotify in a couple of seconds.
Oh, and get this. People can still be listening to your video podcast while doing other things in the background.
That's such a beautiful thing.
That's what I've been doing, though. I'm not going to lie. I do that a lot.
Me too.
But I already know some creators that are doing it, but you can actually do it, too. Like, real talk, y'all should be doing this. Everyone should be doing it.
Girl, yes. We want to see more of the faces behind those silky voices.
So show it off.
Yes, for real. You get on Anchor, you'll end up on Spotify.
Easy. 1, 2, 3. Period.
Yo, man, we back here on the 1130 Podcast. Talk Pro Wrestling, man, we live here. Yo, I want to shout out to my guy, Joe, for coming through here on the 1130 Podcast. Talk Pro Wrestling. Yo, the links are going to be down below right after this live stream, so you can definitely get at him, tap into his YouTube channel, and definitely support everything he got going on. And also, shout out to my guy, Alex Coquito. And, man, we're, once again, great, great show. I'm about to hit on that here, you guys. We're getting ready for Fastlane tonight. Just chopping down some matches with my guy, Joe. I got Judgment Day retaining. I think me and Joe said the same thing. I don't see Cody nor Jay winning the title. I'm going to go with Io Sky. That's what we got right there coming up with Triple Threat Women's Action. Bloodline, I think they're going to take this one due to John Cena possibly hitting LA Knight and... LA Knight getting, you know, mad and, you know, having some sort of statement where it was like, oh, you think you're the 15-time world champion? You think you could just do whatever you want to do? Something similar, whatever like that. But I got the Bloodline winning. Also, we got the World Heavyweight Championship. My guy Joe said, man, hey, I think Seth got to go with that one, man. He got to get rid of the title some way or another. But we're going to see how it all turns out tonight in the last man standing match with Seth Rollins taking on Shinsuke Nakamura. I'm with Seth on this one, man. I would say Shinsuke because I've really been digging everything he's been doing lately with the whole new character. I just think that mouthpiece would do him well. And that's why I think Michael Cole was in the ring with Seth Rollins this past week on Monday Night Raw, sort of filling in for Nakamura. Like his vignette promos on the screen are let's be honest, more effective in a way. So if you don't want the crowd just be like, what every few minutes what you saying, they don't really understand nothing you're saying though. No funny. All right, the Street Profits, Bobby Lashley taking on the LWO. My guy Joe said maybe Carlito might be the maybe the mystery partner in this 6-man tag team match. I think that'll be very interesting. Very interesting. I could see Santos Escobar getting mad if Carlito comes back, get the reaction that he does, and you know, sort of push Santos Escobar into the background, and Escobar be mad in turn on Rey and Carlito. I could see that happening, but definitely want to see what's next for the Hurt Business 2.0, as Joe said, though. But, yo, man, a lot of action is going down tonight. Fastlane. And for everyone who's watching, excuse me, Collision tonight, there's some things that's going down on their edge that's going to be on the show. But I think all the eyeballs are definitely going to be on Fastlane tonight. But once again, man, I appreciate everyone tuning in on the 1130 Podcast Facebook page. Definitely hit that like button. I appreciate everyone for liking this video, and everyone watching on YouTube, definitely hit that subscribe button, like, comment, share it, and don't forget to follow the 1130 Podcast on all social media platforms. This been a good one, man. I'm about to head on out of here for real this time, man. Yo, stay blessed, stay safe, give all the glory to God, man. Won't he do it? Yo, it's your man Dre, aka Dre on Wheels, and I'm out, man. Peace.